A lot of young people say that using a condom is awkward. It's embarrassing to discuss it with your partner. They might feel that it decreases their sexual pleasure.
Salon 5. Pyjama Party.
Hi, my name is Marlene and today I am speaking with Andres Kalto. He's a psychologist and is investigating adolescent sexual health. First, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us how you came to do your research in that certain field?
My name is András Kolto. I'm a postdoctoral researcher at University of Galway, Ireland, and I'm a member of the Health Behaviour in School-Age Children study, which is asking questions on sexual health from adolescents aged 15-year-olds in a large number of countries. How I got interested in this topic, a very good question. I have also been interested in health psychology and health research. And just remembering back to my adolescent years, and knowing that it can be a very tricky and very difficult age for many young people, I think it was always my main aims to help young people to be happy and healthy and become happy and healthy adults. And because so many depends on the childhood and adolescent years in terms of how happy and healthy adult you will become. This is a very important age to study young people's health, because that can make the ground for adult health behaviors.
And as you participated in the study, and this is the topic that we're going to talk about today, I would suggest that you explain the current results of the study to us.
Okay, the Health Behavior in School-Age Children study is conducted every 4 years. Currently, 51 countries participating in the study. And in the 2021-22 data collection round, we asked questions related to young people's sexual health in 42 countries. I think the most important thing we found was that around one-fifth of the young people, 15% of the girls and 20% of the boys have reported they have had sexual intercourse. And we have found that a large proportion of those who are sexually active have been using a condom or a contraceptive pill at the last sexual intercourse, but not all young people. And there were even a number of young persons who don't know if they or their partners used condom or contraceptive pill at last sexual intercourse.
All right, thank you. So now that we've had a brief introduction to the study's subject and content, I would like to know with which objective it was designed and against which background it was conducted.
The study is conducted in collaboration with the World Health Organization, and the World Health Organization's one primary aim is to help adolescents and young people in terms of sexual and reproductive health. So that was very important for us to collect data on young people's sexual behavior and whether they are using methods to protect themselves at the sexual intercourse. And our specific aims were to know what percentage of young people are being sexually active by the age of 15, and of those who have been sexually initiated, what percentage are using a condom or contraceptive pill at last intercourse. And because we are asking, have you or your partner used a condom or contraceptive pill at last intercourse? They can respond, yes, no, I don't know. We can also calculate the percentage of those young people who say they or their partner didn't use condom or contraceptive pills, or they don't know if they or their partner used that.
All right. So far, Dr. Hans Kluge was quoted in a WHO press release. And it says that the results are shocking, but not surprising. And how did you react to the results to the study? What is your personal view on this?
Well, we have known for long that sexual activity among young people is either decreasing or stagnating in many countries. So we are doing the study every 4 years, and we have data on sexual and reproductive health going back to even 20 years. We have just finished doing a trend analysis on the data. So we have seen that less and less young people are having sex. But the problem is that The proportion of those who are having sex are more and more likely to say that they haven't used a condom at last sexual intercourse, and that's quite worrying. And that's what Dr. Kluge is referring to as a shocking result. I find it also frightening because the condom is the only way to protect you from both unwanted pregnancies and sexually transmitted intercourse infections. And that's why it would be crucial that all young people are using condom, especially if they are having sex with someone who they didn't know before.
Yeah, that sounds quite understandable. But what reason do you see in contraception becoming more and more unimportant for young
I
people?
don't know any reason, and because we are not asking young people about the reasons why they are using or not using condoms or contraceptive pill, I can't respond to that easily, that there is one simple reason. We believe there are a number of reasons behind it. And one is that we see that if a health promotion activity is not constantly funded by the national governments, if it's not a national priority, then it's just getting less attention. And when I was a young person, in the early 2000s, there was a lot of attention in the national governments on condom use. So we were taught in the schools, there were a lot of posters and pamphlets on condom use. They handed out free condoms. And unfortunately, what we see in many countries is that it's not a priority anymore. So one of the main recommendations in our report is to encourage the national governments to put more emphasis on it and help young people to understand why is it so important to use condoms. And what we see that in some, not all, but in some countries, the condoms had been gradually replaced by other means of contraception. So it seems that not the sexually transmitted infections are the largest threat, what young people see as threatening their sexual health, but it's an unplanned pregnancy. So even if they are using contraceptive pill, that's great. And the modern contraceptive pills are really very safe. And from the beginning of puberty, girls can safely use them. But the condom is the best method because it both prevents you from the STIs and the unplanned pregnancy.
Thank you for your answer. Can you imagine what role religion and education and maybe also the affluence of young people play in the decision for using a contraception method or
Very good
not?
questions. Starting with family influence, we see that it doesn't really have a big role in adolescent sexual behavior. And sex is a universal thing, so probably everyone is involved in this, are interested in this, and it doesn't make a difference whether you're rich or whether you are from a rich or poor family. But of course, it does make a difference in accessing contraception, in having the tools, having the communication skills to discuss it with your partner, to go to the GP or find the ways of contraception. And it seems that in countries where they introduced free contraception schemes for girls, so the girls can go to the GP or the pharmacy and have the contraceptive pill for free or for very reduced money, it really works. And ideally, we also believe that it would be very important that free condoms or very cheap condoms are also made available to young people, so they could more easily access it, and family influence wouldn't play a role or wouldn't prevent people from a less affluent family to access these means. Religiosity is also very important, and I would also couple it with the national culture. So we see that in both sexual initiation and condom and pill use, there is a large variation across countries. Easily, the use of contraception can vary between 70% and even 5%. So the national culture plays a lot of role in it. Religiosity might be as well. So yeah, there's a big variation across countries, and this is why the WHO is encouraging nations to put more emphasis on comprehensive sex education to level out these or reduce the national differences between countries.
Yeah, based on these differences, in which countries is the situation particularly serious, and could you think of reasons for
I
this?
would rather not highlight one or two countries, so it's not like we are blaming them. I would, however, like to mention that there were two countries, Scotland and Sweden, where the condom use has recently dropped very dramatically. So much less people in these two countries are using condoms than they did before, even in 2018 when they did last survey. And I talked to the researchers in Scotland and Sweden who are leading the HBS in those countries, and the Scottish principal investigator told me that, unfortunately, in the Scottish schools, it's not mandatory to have sexuality and relationships education. So the schools can decide whether they want to have it. And therefore, children, not in all schools, are children taught about the importance of condom and peer use. So that's one thing. If the sexuality and relationships education is not compulsory, then it might be that those children who are going to schools where it's not taught will not have this kind of information, and it will just not be in their awareness that they should use it. And the Swedish principal investigator told me that in Sweden there had been a move from condom use to contraceptive peer use. And really, when we looked into both charts, we saw that there was like a cross effect. So as much condom use declined, contraceptive peer use increased. And she also said that they have done some small scale qualitative study with young people. So it wasn't a questionnaire, but they did an interview or a focus group with young people. And the young people also told that they are either considering or actively using other ways of contraception, like intrauterine devices or the implants. So this is also a thing which we might also think about, that in those countries where these intrauterine devices or implants or other ways are easily accessible, young people might say they are not using condoms or contraceptive pills because they are using another method.
And why do they seem to be more attractive for young people than
We know
condoms?
that a lot of young people say that using a condom is awkward. It's embarrassing to discuss it with your partner. They might feel that it decreases their sexual pleasure. Oh, we know that there are a lot of barriers to use condoms, even if the condoms are easily accessible. And I don't want to neglect it or minimize it. And I don't want to say that I don't understand the reasons. The only thing we can say is that this is the only way which prevents you from both pregnancy and STI, so it's very important. And I think it's also an important thing to make young people more conscious that using a condom is much less effort and much less shame and embarrassment than having an STI and having to go to a doctor with symptoms.
Yes, I can absolutely imagine that. When talking about strategies to encourage young people to use contraceptive methods, you've already like mentioned some of the strategies earlier, like education and like sex education in general. Are there more options to protect young people from the consequences of
Yes, I
unprotected
think it's
sex?
also very important that we are doing more work to educate parents, because many times the parents and also the teachers are all embarrassed to discuss this thing with things with young people. And even in some countries where sexuality and relationships education is mandatory, we know that the teachers are embarrassed to do it, and they try to reduce the hours or maybe invite somebody else to do these talks with young people. And there are many parents who say, "I'm ashamed of these topics. I don't know how to talk to my child about this. I think that they are knowing much more than I do." So it's also very important to, as we say, empower the teachers and the parents to have the skills that they are able to talk to young people. And many times it's even not that the parents and the teachers are actively talking about these matters, but they make the children available or aware that they are available to discuss these things in private, so that you can come and ask me questions even if you feel ashamed or embarrassed of, because I'm happy to help you and I'm here to help you.
What then would you think would have to change in order for teacher and parents to feel less ashamed about this
This is a
topic?
very important question, and again, I don't have a single or simple answer to it. I think we need to understand many elderly people are inheriting this because there was no person to talk to them. They might be ashamed because their parents didn't have to talk with them or their teachers. I remember as a person coming from Hungary that in many Hungarian friends it was difficult because parents felt that they should really not discuss these things with children, but also the sex education was very minimal in the schools when I was a teenager. There should be books, there should be podcasts and talk shows, and there should be options for parents and teachers to ask this question. And I also think it's very important that we are putting more emphasis on teachers' trainings. So those teachers who, for instance, had a course on sexual health promotion will much better understand why it's important, and they will become more self-confident. We always say that in sexual health promotion, the real thing is not knowing how to talk about sex in general, but to increase people's communication skills so they can better communicate what are their needs, what they want to do, what are they comfortable with, and what are their boundaries. So if somebody is not comfortable with someone, they should be able to say no. Or if their partner, for instance, doesn't want to use a condom, they should be able to say, I'm not going ahead if you're not using a condom.
Thank you for those encouraging words. I think they are quite necessary in times like these. And my last question is regarding like the issue with the decline of condom use. Could you observe like in your study or otherwise like that problems arise with the decline in condom use?
Unfortunately, the HBSC doesn't have any follow-up questions, but we also know from other studies that as the condom use decreases, the unplanned pregnancies in teenage are increasing. And even if we are talking about just one or two girls in every 1,000 or 100,000, I think that this is a tragedy if somebody at such a young age is facing the consequences of an unplanned pregnancy. And again, it would be so much easier if we didn't spare ourselves those awkward moments when we discuss condom use than having to deal with an unplanned pregnancy. So I think this is why it would really be crucial that the governments are putting more emphasis on this, because a teenage pregnancy termination has much more negative consequences and might have long lasting impacts on both the girls and the girls' partners' health. And we also know from our Canadian colleagues' studies that LGBT plus young people, so those who belong to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and other sexual and gender minority youths, are much more likely to face an unplanned pregnancy. And this may sound counterintuitive first, right? That we wouldn't think so. But actually, many times, what our Canadian colleagues found happens is that LGBT young people are having sex with someone from the opposite gender, just try to mix into the crowd. So others will not out them, or others will not discover that they are attracted to same-sex people. But because they don't necessarily have the skills which heterosexual young people have to set boundaries and say no, they will be more likely to have an unplanned pregnancy. So this is another important factor which is still missing from the landscape, is that LGBTQ plus young people have their special sexual needs, and we might have to give teachers and parents some special tools to talk about sexual health needs and sexual health issues with LGBTQ young people.
Very surprising findings. Could you elaborate more on how or how to deal with LGBTQ plus like members from an age of in an age of adolescence and how exactly to and what you should do different with them than like people that are heterosexual or not belonging to the LGBTQ
My
plus group?
first idea is that irrespective of someone's sexual orientation or gender identity, experimentation is a natural thing. So it's quite natural if you think of yourself as heterosexual and you still make out or kiss a same-sex person or even have sexual intercourse with them, and that might not necessarily make you change your sexual orientation. And on the other hand, it's also natural for someone who thinks of themselves as gay or lesbian, and they still have sex with someone from the opposite gender. Adolescence is the age of experimentation, so these things are naturally happening. And It doesn't mean that you have an identity. You cannot try sex with someone of the other or the same gender, and that's totally normal. Transgender people might have a lot of special, well, some special sexual health needs in terms of hormonal therapies, in terms of gender transition. Lesbian girls n need some specific advice on how to use dental dams. These are the things which separate LGBTQ people and heterosexual people and cisgender people, but I think the common things are even more important than the separate things. So everybody needs to learn how to say yes and how to say no. Everybody needs to learn how to find out what's good for them. And sexual orientation and gender identity doesn't really make a difference there. But the teachers and the parents also need to acknowledge that LGBTQ young people have their own sexual health needs. So a one-for-all generic sex education class is not working for everyone.
Thank you. I think this was quite educating for me and hopefully for all of our listeners as well. Is there like a last statement that you would like to give?
I would say that still we hear a lot of voices from politicians that if we are talking about sex, that makes young people to have more sex. If we are researching sex, that makes young people to have more sex. And this is not true. Young people won't have more sex if we talk about sex, but young people might have safer sex and more pleasurable and sex, which is based on their own decisions, if we talk about sex. So don't give in to that myth that if we are not talking sex, then there will be no sex, because that's simply not true.
Thank you, Andras, for your time and expertise that you kindly shared with us today. And thank you all for listening. I hope you learned a lot and enjoyed it as much as I did. And for the nosy ones among ye, there is more on the topic of contraception on our TikTok and Instagram channel. Search for Salon5_ and delve a bit deeper. Salon.